From Spark and Anvil and Cardforge, this is The Bluffer in Chapter 1 of the Cardforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The green felt glowed under the porch light, and Leo pushed a tall stack of chips into the middle without saying a word. Nobody at the folding table breathed for a second. He had a pair of fives, two small, ordinary cards, nothing that could win. But his bet said something enormous. It said, "I have the whole board." Across from him, a kid named Sam went stiff, picked up his cards, fanned them, gathered them again. Sam had a good hand. Leo could feel it. And Leo watched Sam start to doubt it anyway. Watch the good hand begin to feel small next to that towering, confident stack. "Fold," Sam finally muttered, and slid his cards face down. Leo pulled the chips in. He didn't gloat. He just turned over his little pair of fives, so everyone could see he'd had almost nothing at all. "The cards are only half of it," he said quietly. "The bets are the other half. And the bets tell a story." Leo had not always trusted the story. The first time he sat at a real game, chips only, no money, just the kids from the block on a Saturday, he'd played every hand exactly as it was. Strong hand, big bet. Weak hand, small bet. Honest as glass. And he'd lost, over and over, because everyone could read him like a picture book. Every time he bet big, they folded. Every time he bet small, they pounced. He remembered the feeling of it, a tight, hot embarrassment behind his ribs, the sense that he was doing everything right and still getting nowhere. He'd wanted to quit. His older cousin, who dealt at those games with a slow patience, had noticed the slump in him. She didn't tell him to toughen up. She just said, "You're only listening to your own cards. You're not listening to theirs." She tapped the felt. "Every chip somebody pushes forward is a sentence. A little bet, a big bet, a pause before they call, that's them talking. If you only pay attention to what's in your hand, you're reading a book with half the pages torn out." Leo had sat with that, and slowly the hot, stuck feeling turned into something quieter, sharper. The feeling of noticing, not just his cards, the whole table, talking without words. He walked to Cardforge because it was a place that took thinking games seriously, and reading hidden information was the most thinking a game could ask of you. The mentor at the gate didn't ask Leo to prove he could win. She asked him one thing. "What is a bet?" Leo didn't answer with the definition. He picked up a single blue chip and set it down soft in front of her. "Careful," he said. Then he stacked five red chips and pushed them across hard so they clicked. Confident. Then he held a chip over the felt, waited one long beat, and let it drop. Unsure, pretending not to be. The mentor watched the three little moves. "Three sentences," she said. "Same chips, different stories." "Betting is talking," Leo said. "You just have to know the language." "You belong here," she told him. Leo's workshop was full of kids who thought they were bad at cards. One afternoon, a girl named Priya slumped into the chair across from him, arms crossed. "I keep losing," she said. "I have good cards and I still lose. It's not fair. Maya remembers every card. That's a real skill. Mine's just guessing." Leo dealt out a practice hand between them, face up, so there was nothing to hide. "It's not guessing," he said. "Watch, I'm going to bet, and I want you to tell me what my bet is saying, not what my cards are." He tapped his stack, thought a moment, then pushed a big, smooth pile forward. Steady, no hesitation. "You have something great," Priya said. "Do I?" Leo turned his cards. Junk, a 2 and a 7, unmatched. Priya's mouth fell open. "But you looked so sure." "Because a bet is a story I choose to tell," Leo said gently. "The trick you're missing isn't in my cards. It's in the moments the story doesn't fit. Deal again." "Bet like you mean it," Priya said. Priya pushed her chips out. Then right at the end, her fingers hesitated, and she glanced up at him for just a flicker. "There," Leo said. "That look, that little pause, that's a hole in your story. It says, I want you to believe this, and I'm not sure you will." He smiled. When somebody's story has a hole in it, you don't have to be scared of their big bet. You call. You say, "Show me." Priya frowned, thinking. So it's not about tricking people. It's about listening for when the pieces don't match. "That's the whole thing," Leo said. "Every strong player is doing two jobs at once. You're deciding what story to tell with your own bets, and you're reading everyone else's, looking for the seam where their story stops holding together. Chess players read the board. We read the table." He gathered the cards. "And you keep updating. Every new chip somebody pushes, you nudge your guess a little. New sentence, new guess. You never stop listening." Priya sat up straighter. The crossed arms had come uncrossed somewhere in there, and she hadn't noticed.
Later, when the workshop had emptied out and the porch light had come on again, Priya lingered by the door with one more question. She was quieter now. "When you push all those chips in," she said, "and you've got nothing, a pair of fives or junk, how does it feel? Aren't you scared they'll catch you?" Leal thought about the very first Saturday, the tight ribs, the cousin's slow voice, the long time it had taken the hot, stuck feeling to cool into noticing. "Scared a little," he admitted, "but mostly it feels like being very, very awake." He looked out at the dark yard. "It's not the winning I chase. It's that moment right before somebody decides, when the whole table goes still and everyone's reading everyone, and you can almost hear people thinking. Your heart's steady but loud. Your eyes catch everything. It's the most awake I ever feel." He tapped the felt one soft time, the way his cousin used to. "That's what I'd want you to carry out of here. Not a way to fool people. That wide awake, listening feeling, like the whole room just got clearer, and you're finally hearing all of it." Priya nodded slowly, and Leo watched something settle across her shoulders, loose and light. The same thing that had settled across his years ago, the first time the table stopped being scary and started being a conversation he could hear.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to the Bluffer. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.